What you're about to listen to has a lot of bad language, topics that may not be agreeable to most listeners, and if you are squeamish, you should not listen.
Ladies and germs, it's showtime!
Here's Johnny!
What the fuck is your name?
Shut up!
All right, ramblers, let's get rambling.
Wait a minute, just wait a fucking second, all right?
Shut your raggedy ass up and sit the fuck down.
All right, well, I am back. So, without further ado, let's just get a little tunage going on. This is Az and El Shaber. I don't know. Something like that, I think. Yeah, Az and El Shaber. Or Shaber with I'm Back. I got this from C4, who gave me a little iTunes coupon thingy, whatever. So, shouts out to him. Thanks a lot, man. This is what your hard-earned iTunes thing went to.
Yeah, this is it, my head. This defines me. Turn my mic up. Story. Vivid, I'm Marcus Garvey, Favar Muhammad, Mega Havazin, Bob Marley, I'm God body, the scripture says the laws inside me, show love, I was hugged by the arms of Gandhi, gave me my strength, you could tell somebody raised me with sense, we all need something to help us do our daily events, bear with me, the toughest niggas tear quickly, no lie, pop still crying, he near 50, freedom or death, I give niggas a reason to sweat, it's no test, verbally it's like I'm seen as the best, who wanna try me? To express grace, separate the weaker niggas is the less weight. Fuck how y'all feel, y'all cowards now fucking with real. I've returned like McGrady, got love with a pill. Let's get it poppin', I move like a nigga toppin'. I know the stress from the streets when I was diddy boppin'. Playin' the corners, face to face with the faces of mourners. It's hard to trace the informers until it's too late. Take place on my borders, the focus is back. I play a part in this culture of rap. Once a wolf, so I relate on how these vultures attack. Flippin' and runnin', Devil Park, rippin' up summons. How many niggas hittin' twin sisters and flippin' their cousins? Call it finesse. The game, give it all I possess. Nothing changed, I'm a ball to the death.
Right. Show these cats how we do this here, nigga. I'm like a rose in the desert, but how can one grow without rain? How can one experience happiness without pain? And how could I fall to the bowels of hell and still remain sane? And how could I still remain on top of my game? When both the black and the white devil seek the power of the rebel, seek to defy my radiance, I shift gears to another level, I'm focused. But it's like I'm playing a coherent space, I got a lot of hearts, but these fools trying to cut me, and I'm tired of these jokers. Vengeance is mine, I played the whole planet with locusts. I survived and made him my advantage, I've been the brokest. I was the drug and held by all the smokers. Then I became the love absorbed by all the coaches. I can't trust women because my heart was scorned. It's hard to trust your comrades when your heart was torn. 1970, a God was born.
I'm not a fucking rapper. okay, funny story this. Yeah, it's truly a funny story, yeah. I fucked up hard. I recorded a whole hour of me, just me, all by my lonesome. About 20 minutes ago, I discovered I fucked up and my mic wasn't actually on. Technically, the mic was on, but the track that was supposed to record the mic, I didn't turn on my software. So I fucked up and I apologize. Again, thanks to C4 for the song I'm Back by Az and El Shaber. or Shabber. I don't know. Fuck it. It'll be in the show notes. I don't know who they are. I just did a search on the iTunes thing, looked for a song that kind of had a retro feel, because that's what I'm about. Kind of hip-hoppy, because I know that's what a lot of other people out there in the world listen to. And got along with saying something that I wanted to say without me actually having to say it, because the rest of the show is going to be just me having to say it. So that was, I'm back. Yeah. Oh, fuck, I sound cheesy. All right, 3 weeks. 3 weeks, I think it's been. Easter's passed. Movies have come out. I'm in the process of eating a Hershey egg. Not a plug for them, but I'm just... It's dinner for me right now. And it's chocolate, so I'll probably crap like crazy afterwards, after eating all this chocolate. Maybe even make me hyper, may make the show better. So the reason I'm alone, as I eat this chocolate egg, it's because, well, I'm a busy man. Everyone else I know is a busy person, man or woman. So we all have jobs. We're lucky, and we want to keep our jobs. And some jobs suck ass, and some jobs don't suck ass, and some jobs have crappy hours, and some don't. Yeah. So let's maybe, well, I say let's, as in everyone listening, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. A little backstory, a little history. I'm not too old, I'm not too young, I'm about 26. And I own a company with he's a pretty predominant director in this city. We're 50-50 in this company, and I'm an editor. And so I bring to the table an editorial eye, a criticizing, never really able to pull it off himself, but very critical person. That's who I am. Very critical. Critical of everything. So I've learned to use that to my advantage. So I'm critical about television, film, stuff like that, radio, things of that nature. Critical of myself, and that's why I'm alone right now. No bitches in my future. Just female friends, lots of them. Yeah, they're awesome. Yay. You're just a buddy. Anyways, that's a different story, a different show altogether. Real Hacks is about movies. It's about telling the truth or giving you our opinions. And this show is going to be all my opinion, just me, no one else. No Jackie Glasgow combating me and making me defend all my theories or beliefs. It's just me spewing what I spew and you having to listen to it. So some of you will probably have to take this with a grain of salt. Some of you are probably going to be like, fucking right, I totally feel that same way. That's what Real Hacks is going to bring to the table. It's a objective view, a bunch of people's opinions, and take each little opinion with a grain of salt and pick and choose everyone else's ideas to make your own identity. Because that's what this society is lacking. People with actual identities. Individuals. There are no more individuals. They're all fucking drones. Fucking sheep. Don't be a sheep person. Sheep person. Yeah, I'm not really making all that much sense. Well, it makes sense to me. I've had a lot of sugar. Please forgive me. Let's move on. So this show, I'm going to talk about Baba Hotep and Kill Bill Volume 2. And I'll probably talk about Volume 1 because when I recorded the show earlier, I delved back into 1 and how I felt about that. News, updates, info besides the movie that you guys should know is that I am working on a forum. Yes, a message board, an area where we can play and movie bliss and give our opinions and not be too persecuted. I'm sure there'll be persecution. There always is. That's life. But wouldn't you like a place where you can go and give your top list of movies and why you like them and read other people's top list and why they like them and actually know
that the people that are there posting that sort of information truly have individual thoughts and ideas, and they're not just rehashing someone else's list or saying something because there's a sponsor. We're never going to have a sponsor. I don't want a fucking sponsor. And I've had people offer already, even though we had 3 shows and this is the 4th. And it's April 27th, by the way. I've already had someone say, you know, come to our radio station and stream it. And it's not Stank Dog. Stank understands where I'm coming from with this show. The other people from this other so-called internet station just don't get it anymore. Yeah. Unfortunately, about 2-3 years ago, they got it. And they had it. And I thought there was a clear direction. And now it seems like they're out for money. So that's a shame. It's tragic. Sure, they've got more gear and they've got maybe more listeners, but the soul's gone. Which brings me to Bubba Hotep. No, I'll save that for a little later after my rant on this bullshit. So the forum is going to be a place for anyone to come in, say what they want about movies, rumors, links to other stuff. I want it to be a community that's untainted by sponsors or bullshit. So if it ever gets a sense of people doing commercial plugging of, big budget stuff, or if I just get a vibe that someone is an industry insider and they're trying to steer people to their movie or their direction, they're gone. All their links are gone. Everything. I'm not going to put up with that shit. I'm not going to plug everything that I work on because that's not really that cool. And if I wanted to, I probably could just make this whole show about what I've worked on in the past years or whatever, or what I'm going to be working on in the future. And that's just not what this is about. This is about someone's opinions and feelings on the industry, challenging the industry, challenging the people that are in the industry or watching films, bettering everyone's thinking. BinRev Radio does it one way. You have C4 and Gamer. They tell you about video games. You got Old School Freak, which I hope has a reincarnation soon to get more freaking stuff. You get Off the Hook, Off the Wall. So you get all these other sources of information, and they're more technology in computer realms and games and stuff like that. This is going to be your movie fix. This is your fucking movie fix, bitches. And there'll probably be a little bit of chat about television because that kind of goes hand in hand. You know, there's still a form of visual stimuli where you don't actually participate with hands-on like games. So, anywho, like I said, Volume 2, I'm going to talk about that, of Kill Bill. And the forum should be up soon. I got an email from a gentleman out in Vancouver who gave me his real name, but I don't want to divulge it just because I haven't actually gotten back in contact with him. Thank you for the email. You know who you are. Apparently, he works in the industry doing either layouts for sets. It does the drawings for them. I think he does masks or creature masks or latex stuff of that nature. I haven't researched enough about him. He gave me a little link. He said he'd like to be on the show or talk about what he does on the show. I don't know if he's just starting out or if he's been in the industry for years, but in the future maybe he can be on the show and he and I will talk about some other stuff since he's on a totally different side of the country and a different end of the spectrum in the industry than I am. I'm the last line of defense as an editor. I'm the last person to actually manipulate that footage and that audio before it's, you know, sent to the presses, I guess, or the duplication system. So that makes me feel like I'm empowered, whereas his role will probably be at the preconception of a series or a movie or whatever, so he's at the other spectrum. Back into a little bit more about myself. I've been busy doing a lot of shit, working for other people, prepping for other shows and things that are coming up, and racking my brain on stuff, working on a message forum for us, upgrading the website a little bit, buying equipment, you know, other exciting things of that nature, and trying to take some time off and combating a cold. It never fails for me. Every fucking time I have any time off, I get sick for a whole week. Fucking sucks. Christmas time, sick the whole time. Over Christmas, totally sick the whole time. Couldn't move. Then I, about a week or two ago, I had some time off. Sick the whole week. Totally sick. So that sucked ass. On with the show. Last night, I finally got to see Bubba Ho-Tep, starring Bruce Campbell and Ozzie Davis and some other people. So I've been waiting to see this for a long time because I'm a huge Bruce Campbell fan and I loved Army of Darkness. And, you know, he's brilliant. He's sharp. Oops, that's bad radio. I hit the mic. He's a sharp guy. He knows where he is in the industry and what he brings to the table, and he knows he's a little quirky and kooky, but he makes it work for him, and that's what's fucking rocks. That's gold. That's the shit, you know. So Bubba Ho-Tep finally came back to the theater here because so many people bitched about the fact that it sold out and there was only one showing of it on a Monday night, no fucking publicity about it, and no advance tickets. So it was a fucking horror show when I stood in line trying to get into that fucking place the first time, and because I work a job that won't let me out early, I missed it, and I was pissed. And so this time, a friend of mine bought tickets for me, and tickets for other people, and we all went as a posse, and I hooked up with some other friends of mine that I haven't seen in a while. As you probably aren't aware, Bob Nino doesn't get out much. I don't actually leave my edit suite much, unless I go home and sleep, and I do that a lot too. So, yeah, so it was good to see people, and it's the kind of movie Bubba Ho-Tep is, a comedy slash horror, sort of B-movie genre with a little bit more money than some of the old B-movies, you know. And it's self-aware. It knows what it is. It knows it's quirky. It knows it's comedy. It knows that it's just a good time for people. And that being said, it still has a lot to offer a huge range of people, because some people are laughing at parts that just I didn't think were funny or comical, and other people are laughing at parts that the person beside me thought was funny, you know? So out of the whole room, that theater had someone laughing at one point or another, and it worked on many levels. It had your crap jokes, your fart jokes, your shit jokes, whatever. It had your belch jokes. It had slapstick. It had intellectual double entendres. It had visual sight gags, and it was just a overall good ride. Just one of those movies you can go to, have a good time, bring some people with you, go out of there and just go, fuck, I'm glad I saw that, you know? That doesn't happen often, because in this world right now, there are a lot of shitty movies and a lot of shitty people that go to these shitty movies and propel the industry to make more shitty movies, and that pisses me off. I saw Head of State on the Satellite the other night and hated it. Totally fucking hated it. Couldn't hear Chris Rock. I don't know if that was the broadcast fucking up or just the fact that he was poorly mic'd and bassed his voice up a lot because he was very, very deep and didn't have any high end whatsoever. Sounded like shit. It was just a musically propelled piece of shit. All it had were Jay-Z songs, and I'm sure most of you have seen it. Chris Rock, you're not funny anymore, man. You're just not as funny. Chappelle's got you beat right now, bitch. He's a little sharper. He's a little more risque. A little more intellectual. A little more challenging. All right, so that's another movie I saw. Yeah, but if you can, remember this. May 26th or 28th, I'm not sure. It may depend differently on where you live and stuff. The DVD of Bubba Hotep's coming out. Rent it. Trust me. Rent the movie. Watch it. Because there's nothing funnier than seeing a fucking Elvis impersonator doing kung fu with a broken hip and a walker. It's fucking hilarious.
Who loves you, baby?
Okay, that's my worst. That's probably the best I can do for Elvis, but probably the worst Elvis impression ever. You know. But they have a lot of good Elvis jokes, and I hate Elvis. And it's really funny to hear all the little insider jokes and, you know, stuff like that. Very, very funny movie. You gotta see it. Give it a shot. Let me know how you think about it. Like, come to the forum. Email me, bobnino@realhacks.com. Let me know. Let me spread the word. We'll discuss it. It's gonna be good. You're gonna like it. Trust me. All right. So, fuck. I don't know how Dual, Parallel, or fucking Stank or C4 have done a whole radio show by themselves. It's fucking tough. I got a notepad here with at least 2-3 pages of why I hate a movie, half a bottle of Coke, and chocolate Easter eggs. That didn't sound all that cool, did it? I don't know. They're hard-shelled eggs, but they got a nice soft center of chocolate. I'm just fucking killing time. I want to make the show a whole hour long. I'm all by myself. Can't take phone calls. None of my friends are free. None of them. I got taxes to pay. If you haven't paid your taxes, you're probably fucked right now. Oh yeah, you guys in the States have to do it April 15th. Haha. I get April 30th. 2 more days. Mm-hmm. Watch me fucking forget and screw it all up again. Probably owe like $6,000. Anywho. Yeah, did you know that Canadian tax dollars go towards our entertainment? I think it happens in the States a little bit too, but big news up here is that our telefilm budgets have actually been increased again back to the way they used to be before the recession. So that means there's going to be a lot more crappy films done in Canada. Yeah. Hopefully I won't be involved in the crappy ones. Yeah. Yep. So, reasons. I hate Kill Bill, both Volume 1 and Volume 2. Reason number one, they cut it in two. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Greedy motherfuckers. Bullshit. Reason I hate number two quite a bit is the whole... Oh yeah, I should warn you. I'm going to spoil it for you. If you haven't seen the movie, T.S., I'm going to fucking talk about specific points in the movie that made me cringe or made me fucking scream, that's bullshit. Bullshit. So, that being said, you've been fairly warned. Tune out now. Or download this show after and listen to it after you've seen Kill Bill Volume 2 so you can know exactly why I'm as pissed as I am about it. Yeah, so back to hating Kill Bill. The first scene starts with her in the car, shot on a soundstage. Poorly written, poorly acted, tacked on. Fucking pissed me off. That scene was just added there so that they could rehash everything that apparently happened that was poignant to the plot in Volume 1. Well, it's poignant to the plot in Volume 2, but it happened in Volume 1. So this was like the refresher, in case you didn't see Volume 1, which I'm sure there's probably a few people that didn't go to see Volume 1 and just jumped into Volume 2 knowing that there's very little storyline, because there's very, 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 very minute amount of story. It's all about revenge. That's the whole fucking concept of this movie. Revenge. That's it. You don't need to know who did this to who all that much, because it's just basically she got fucked over, she's killing people as revenge to get to Bill, who's the ultimate goal for her to kick ass. The only good thing about Volume 2 is that there is more story than there was in Volume 1. Yeah, but that's pretty much it. Let's go through the list some more, shall we? The scene when the bride and Bill arrive at the base of the mountain where the Pei Mai Kung Fu master lives, and they're talking and they're doing their little thing, and Bill gets into the Jeep. You'll see his reflection in his rearview mirror. Well, it's his side mirror, actually, on the door. You'll see it when the door is opened. All right? And then they'll do a bad cutaway, and it's a bad one, trust me, because I know cutaways, of Bill's face, and you will then come back over to him having already closed the door, him in the Jeep, and the mirror still picks up his face. That pisses me off to no fucking end, because that isn't true. It would not happen in real life. And when DOPs and directors decide, DOP, director of photography, should explain, generally the camera guy or the guy telling the camera guy what to do, or cinematographer is another term. So generally the DOP or the director in this instance has decided that it'd be so fucking cool to see him, his reflection in the shot. Now, granted, that is pretty cool, and that could happen in real life if you place the camera properly behind you. There's two reasons why they use the cutaway. One is because when the door closed, the mirror would then show the crew in the back and the camera reflecting in the mirror, most likely. Just because you have all that crew and gear and stuff behind you, most of the time when they're doing a setup, they don't worry about mirrors passing or reflections of stuff. It's generally a really good place to actually figure out if the director is involved in every shot, standing over the cameraman's shoulder or not, because you could see them in the reflection sometimes, or they're not there in the reflection. Anyways, so they use the cutaway. Then, the other reason they use the cutaway is because the DOP or the director or some other fucking moron has decided that it would be good for them to reposition the mirror on the door so that when the door is closed, it's still reflecting Bill's face to the camera. So when he has his dialogue, you're actually seeing his face in the mirror. That's a fucking cop-out. Because there's no fucking way that would really happen in real life where the mirror still gets him perfectly framed. That is the sort of stuff that pisses me off, because it takes me out of the movie. It's no longer a sense of realism or anything. Not that this fucking movie ever had an ounce of realism in it, because it's all some over-the-top fucking poor cliche of the original Kung Fu flicks. And trust me, there's a lot of bad rip-off shots and a lot of bad rip-off ideas, and it's just really, really aggravating when you watch a lot of Kung Fu flicks that have heart and charm and their own real style, and then you see an American try to rip it off, and it's not done well, in my opinion. It's just not, it's not true to the form. So the mirror thing, that pisses me off. That is just a sign of, you know, I'm full of shit. I want to do it my way. I'm not going to, you know, have any sense of realism. Let's just go with stupid reflections all over the place. You know, it sucked. It was bad. It pissed me off. That set the mood for the fucking whole movie for me, besides the fact that they shot that soundstage scene with Uma Thurman, which was terrible. She was reading off a fucking card through the whole scene. You can tell her eyes are drawn off camera just a little bit to something, which she's either memorizing bits and pieces and she's got a cue card, or she's just reading a whole fucking script. Who knows? But I'm guaranteeing you they shot that way after everything else had already been pieced together, or in the process of piecing together the last episode and thinking, oh shit, there's big a plot hole. We gotta, you know, make this movie palatable to the people who didn't watch the other one or are too stupid to remember what happened 8 months ago. Dicks. Movie's too fucking long. It's way too fucking long. There are scenes that are excruciating, boring, bland. When Bud goes in and gets reamed by his manager, that scene lasts way too long. The gist of it is that he's getting reamed by his manager, and at one point he was the highest of the high assassins, or pretty damn high. You know, he had some style, he had money back then, he was cool, and this is what he's become now, where he's getting reamed out by some fucking cokehead in the back room of a crappy strip joint in the middle of nowhere. But that scene doesn't have to be played out as long as it is, and as poorly written as it is. Yeah. Actors? That brings me to actors and how bad many of them were. Especially Daryl Hannah. You can fuck right off. Name a movie that she did. Yeah, exactly. You can't. You can't fucking name a movie she did. Except for maybe Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. And that was a piece of shit. Wasn't that with a Baldwin brother? Not a good Baldwin, but a really dumb Baldwin? Actually, I think they're all kind of dumb. Personally, that's just my opinion. And, bad. I hit the mic. Ooh, I'm so evil. It's because I'm lack of coke and I'm high on chocolate. Yeah. Yeah, that'll do it. All right. Yeah, bad actors. So, Pai Mei, the kung fu teacher, master, whatever. Was it just me or was he kind of hokey? And I know it's probably an homage to the kung fu flicks of old, but at the same time, it's just, it was, I don't know, I felt cheated. I felt like it was just tacky as fuck. And the fight sucked. The fight was terrible. There's more dancing than actual punching. They were going through maneuvers instead of actual, you know, fight. There was no fluidness to it. It was just too, you know, oh, you do this, I do that. You do this, I do that. Okay, this is my next move, then you do that. There's no rhythm. Bad choreography. It just didn't seem viable. It seemed really cheesy to me. And I don't know if that's a combo of Uma not being able to, you know, carry up the action, or just the fact that they just didn't, you know, have a good choreographer or a bad director in charge of everything. Because, you know, Tarantino, I think you've lost it, man. I don't think you have that je ne sais quoi that you had before. Like, I think you're going downhill, so my advice to you is to not make Volume 3 of Kill Bill, which I heard a rumor that you were thinking of doing. For the love of God, this movie trilogy cannot happen. There cannot be a trilogy. It can only be two movies, and that's it, because I'm definitely not willing to have, like, a Volume 3. There shouldn't have been a Volume 2. It should have been just one movie. But you cut it in half, you and Miramax, you cheap fucking bastards wanting more money. Greedy whores. And the Pai Mei fight scene, camera angles and the camera cuts and the whole scene is the camera moves were just brutal. Like, yes, they do the whole zoom in on the face really quick and then pull back out, but they were done at inopportune times. They weren't logical. They weren't picked for strategic, you know, progressing the story any. They were just random at points. You know, it almost seemed like I was watching some fucking MTV music video.
Ugh. Yeah.
And Pai Mei strokes his beard almost as much as I stroke mine. And I've been lectured many times in an edit suite to stop stroking my beard and get back to work because I use it as a crutch when I'm thinking, you know. Some people do that. Some people just put their hands up to their lips. Some people twiddle their pen. Some people twitch their legs. My partner in my company starts drumming on stuff because he's a drummer. He has a drum kit at home. That's what he does. Everyone has something. But really, the inopportune times that Pai Mei grabs his beard and strokes it or flicks it, like, it was very, I don't know, bizarre. I would have just liked to see the fact that maybe he just stroked it after he was thinking about things, but it didn't seem like he was actually contemplating much. You know, you can tell his eyes are he's not really aware, you know. Good makeup job, I guess. It's a lot of white hair and the eyebrows look pretty damn real, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, that brings me back on my notes. Daryl Hannah, you suck. You can't act worth a shit. You know the scene where the Black Mamba bites, what's his name, Bud, I think it is. Bill's brother, by the way. Yeah, it bites him and he's about to die from the venom of the Black Mamba. And Daryl Hannah goes into this bizarre, oh yeah, it's interesting, I got this off the internet about the Black Mamba. This is what the internet says about the Black Mamba. And then she starts reading off of a fucking notepad. Now, I've got a notepad here because I wanted to do a radio show. And I had to write down my thoughts when I was watching the movie so that I could remember them and spew them all out onto the microphone to you. Why the fuck would someone go on the internet and take the time to research history on the Black Mamba to spew that over top of the guy who's going to die? It's a waste of time. He's dead or dying. Why? Why do you say that? It's not like in Pulp Fiction when Samuel L. Jackson quotes the Bible verse. Like, that's his signature. Her signature isn't Black Mamba's. She's just being a fucking tard. You know what it really is? And I'm almost 100% guaranteeing this is what it was. Is that she couldn't be guaranteed to remember her lines. She's not that good at memorizing long paragraphs of sections of stuff, of script, or anything. And so they chose to come up with the storyline of, oh, she's downloaded this off the internet, jotted it down in a notebook. If you look, it doesn't even look like a viable fucking handwriting for her. It looks like it's some stagehand who perfectly printed out each letter so that she could read it no problem back to the camera. And that's what I'm thinking happened. I think they tacked on the fact that it was downloaded off the internet so that they could spew this bullshit Black Mamba research stuff and she could read it off the notepad because she couldn't actually remember it. You can't act. She can't. She sucks. Her whole wailing around after her eyeball gets pulled out. I'm sorry, but if she's a hardened killer and she's already had one eyeball pulled out, don't you think she'd be experienced enough to be able to deal with the pain from that first eyeball ripping out to the second one? That it's like, oh, I've dealt with this before. It's not as bad as I made it out to be. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I just assume that if she's a hardened killer who's trained to assassinate people, she's got to be able to deal with some pain. She was fucking Pai Mei's little tutor at one, or not tutor, fucking under his tutelage. Because I... Pupil. That's what I was looking for. Pupil. So, yeah. He was teaching her, and I'm sure he taught her how to, like, you know, take a hit or something. For fuck's sakes. Anyways. So, yeah. So she gets her eyeball ripped out, and she starts flailing around. Isn't it a matter of fact that most kung fu, when they're taught whatever they're taught about being blindfolded and extra senses and not relying just on sight but relying on sound and touch and being aware of your surroundings and stuff? So she's gotten her eyeball ripped out. And yes, she's probably bleeding and stuff. But this is the moment for her to try to get back at the bride who fucking just ripped her eyeball out. Instead, she's like, "You bitch, you fucking bitch, you bitch." That's way too, like, bar fight catty than, like, trained assassin. I don't know. What kind of fucking assassin would do that? You know, wailing around on the floor. Again, bad acting. Bad acting. Like a sheep. Bad. She sucks. She blows. She ain't good. Come up with something you want to say about her, email me, and we'll just start a whole thread on my forum about why Daryl Hannah sucks. And while we're at it, we might as well put Uma in there too, because I don't think she's all that hot shit either. Overrated. Yeah. The one thing I did like about the movie, according to my notepad here, because as I talk about the movie more, I don't think I really liked everything or anything. The way Bill dies, that's cool. It seems like polished Tarantino thought process. Like, he's thought, okay, it's all about how he's dying, because the whole movie's been about her chasing him down to kill him. So it's got to be with dignity and composure, and it's got to be just awe-inspiring. Like, people have to just go, fuck. Like, that's a wicked way to die. Like, you know, staring fucking death in the face, taking it like a man, and just dying. That's cool. That was good. That I give him credit for. But the girl being alive, the daughter, that was a pretty good twist. It was. But I don't know. It just... I don't know. It just... There's something about it. Something about it. It just seems like... Eh. Like you kind of expected it, almost. You know? Like, it kind of had to happen. It kind of just had to be one of those things that, yeah, she had the kid. She doesn't know. The kid's been raised by the tyrannical father, you know, is a killer and shit. I don't know. It was good, but it kind of irked me in a way, and I can't really put my finger on it. The credits were whacked. Whack. Duh. Bad. Bad. Showing head cuts or headshots of people with their title and everything. I'm all, that's fine, you know, because they're actors, they worked hard, they've done a lot of work, you know, and you want to squeeze out as much as you can of the money that you paid them and give them, like, this kudo at the end, right? But all the little gory bloodshot scenes and the knife, the sword fight things and the people falling into the water and stuff, that wasn't necessary. It I don't know, it's like... It's almost like they had to remind you that this is the bloody part. And it's interesting how the whole first episode, the first volume, was just gore. No substance. And the second one was very little gore, all substance. And it didn't need to be so long. It just fucking didn't. I don't know. Tarantino won't listen to this. He won't listen to me. I'm just some poduck guy who... you know, does his little thing, bitches about what he bitches about, and does his job, and, you know, whatever. But if I ever edit a huge motion picture and I get to deal with him, I'm going to be like, straight up, what the fuck was that? Did you do that for money? Or did you do it because everyone had sort of forgotten about you after Jackie Brown and you had to put out another movie or else you'd just disappear? And this was just you filling time. Like, because it ain't that good. And Jackie Brown, I think, is a much, much, much better film. So is Pulp Fiction, so is Reservoir Dogs. So what happened? You fucked up. You fucked up, bitch. Alright, so how long have I been talking? Half hour? I don't know. Fucked up. I fucked up and didn't record. And that was an hour long. I've talked about stupid shit. Probably told too much information about myself. Rambled on about some stuff. Not sure where I'm going to go from here. Other films to watch. Other films to watch. I watched Ted Estate? I don't know. It sucked. Yeah, I think it did say that. Well, I can't say there's any feature films or any films that I want to see right now. There's nothing that's coming out that I'm looking forward to. Punisher, according to the Mount Denson pimp, could have been called anything else and could have had anyone else in it because it just really, I don't know. It's the Punisher, but it just, what is it? They tacked on next door neighbors that are just stereotypical, you know, fat guy and hot chick or something. Like, to me, that's a shame if that's the case. Also, he said that there's a big explosion and it was in the shape of the Punisher head. That's the same kind of fucking shit that scared me away from Daredevil. That bullshit shot. It's like, what is it with people? Like, I know movies are supposed to be about entertainment, but they should have a little bit of realism or something that grounds you to it, makes you feel like you're involved in it. Like, at least with Bubba Ho-Tep, there was a believability in the fact that that Elvis impersonator actually thought he was Elvis, and he's an old folk guy, dude now, and that there's a black man who's crazy enough and thinks he's actually JFK with dyed skin because it's a big conspiracy and they put a little bag of sand in his head where the brain was shot out. You know, to me, that's that, like, there's still an ounce of realism there. And yeah, a big Bubba Ho-Tep walking around sucking people's souls may not happen, but who's to say it doesn't happen? Like, there's no way I'm gonna know unless I'm involved fully. But when it comes to people taking the time to blow up every car so it's in the shape of a Punisher head, like the Punisher skull, I can almost guarantee that no one's going to be that fucked up to take the time to make that happen. You know, calculate all that sort of shit. Life's too short. Fuck it. It's an explosion. Whoop-de-doo. You move on afterwards. Oh, man. I obviously, you know, I'm very opinionated. But I think that you hearing my opinion and choosing to agree or disagree is actually going to be better for society than you. Oh, excuse me. All this coke, it's making me belch. It's just better for society for us to actually think, to contemplate why we like something, why we don't like something, what we want out of life, where we're going to go, what we're going to do. Because if you're not thinking, you're not contributing. You're just, well, I guess you could be contributing, but you're not bettering society. You're not bettering mankind or yourself. You're just existing. And existence, alone isn't enough. It's just not enough. My, what drives me in life is that I want to make a mark. I want to make a difference. I want my name to either be there for a few years after I'm gone, or to have at least touched someone else's way of thinking and contributed to something else down the road. And in many regards, that's what you're seeking right now, because you're out there actively pursuing knowledge. That's what makes us different. We're out there. We want knowledge. Other people, they're just content dwelling, getting up, going to work, doing their thing, going home, sleeping, fucking whatever. Very good quote in Baba Hotep, you know, is all that's all there is to life. And I'm paraphrasing a bit just because I can't remember the exact words. Is all there is to life is eat, shit, and sleep. Well, is it really? Like, because at one point, for many of us, and it hasn't been for some of us for a while because we're all too much of an introvert, all, like, it's eat, shit, sex, and sleeping, right? Well, there's got to be more than that. You can't, if you're just doing that, you're not really contributing. You're not propelling society or yourself. You're, it, there's, it, if you're just doing that, you might as well be 18 or 80. You know, there's no curve there. There's no progression or loss of self. You're just one flat line. You're boring. You're bland. I go out there every day. I come from my apartment, come into work, and I take a shitty bus just because parking's ridiculous and I can't afford it. I come into work and I learn and I seek knowledge and I go out there and I want to pick up software and hardware or movies and find out about other stuff and people's opinions. And then I can decipher what I like, what I dislike out of that, what I believe, what I don't believe, get a sense of identity, go on, and then have conversations with other people that have done the same thing, be it through the radio or in person or on the phone with friends or email, and then you get more knowledge, more opinions, more, and you refine yourself. You get yourself into a direction where you say, this is what I want, this is where I'm going, this is what's going to happen to me, and you go and do it to get there. Yes, sometimes you may have to work a shitty job. Sometimes you may have to deal with an asshole. But the thing is, you've got that propelling you along. That's what makes us different from all the little sheeple out there who just get up, go to work at the call center, answer the little phone, and read off the script, hang up, do it again, collect their little paycheck, then they go out to a movie, sit down, watch some piece of shit like 13 going on 30 or whatever, or go home and watch shitty satellite TV channels or sports or something that doesn't actually stimulate them. They think it's stimulation, but it's artificial. It's not retained. It's just there for a moment and it's gone. Like, you can't tell me that someone's going to come out of watching 13 going on 30 and it's going to be a life-altering event unless they're 5 years old. And then the life-altering event for them is going to be, I want to be just like her. And what is that? That's the marketing machine again. Everyone wants to be like that person. They don't want to be themselves. So technically, has she actually had a life-altering decision? No. She's nothing. You're nothing. You don't matter. You don't count. You're not contributing. You're not going to contribute. You're a drone. You're part of the collective. As you can tell, I'm obviously a Star Wars and Star Trek fan and a big geek. I do wear glasses. I have a beard. I work a lot. And it's all with computers. So, on that note, modem I think it was Modem. I think he liked Bitch Better Have My Money by AMG. So I could probably play that again, or I could play that as El Shabba, El's or Nazo Shabba, whatever, I'm back song. Or something else. I don't know, man. But, like, fuck it. We'll just play Bitch Better Have My Money. And until next time, which I hope will be only a week away, I hope to also have a guest. I will be watching more movies. I have a little bit more spare time. And give us feedback. BobNino@realhacks.com. Keep us in mind. Spread the virus of knowledge and seeking knowledge. And check up on us to see if our forum's up and running. So, yeah. Peace out.
Bitch better have my money.
It ain't nothing like black pussy on my dick. Word to the motherfucking DJ Quick. I play O's like Domino, slapping bones. AMG's on the motherfucking microphone. I sing dick, bitch, nothing more and nothing less. You gotta see no hope, you can take the test. And bring big fat titties and lots of back. You got the woody and I got the axe. I'm no joke when I stroke for a client. Bitches need dick, so they find it. G with the high top fade. Open up your coach bag, bitch, so I can get paid. And take off your G-string drawers. Did you eat your Wheaties? Cause I don't pause. What are you laughing at? Ain't a damn thing funny.
Bitch better have my money.
I don't charge by the inch, I charge by the foot. Think I'm lying, bitch, here, take a look. 100% USDA grade AB. Here's my card, call me. You look like you ain't been bumped in a while. Pick up the motherfucking phone and dial. And have your money in a big ass stack. I'm swinging his dick like a new jack.
Bitch!
So?
Bitch better have my money. 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 Bitch better have my
choose
money.
Choose the position pronto, you're on the clock. You can suck the diggity dick, but I'ma charge you a knot. Bend your ass on over and touch your toes. Hold your breath, cause I'm a hoe by nose. This dick of mine ain't friendly, baby. Will it hurt you? Yeah, maybe, probably, because I'm 19 years old. I fuck hot pussy until it's cold. I ain't a prostitute, but I'll knock the boots. Women love me, they say I'm so cute. Girls wanna get with me, young tenders. A big old butt and a smile and a weird up. Pussy ain't nothing but a game to me. Pockets on fat cause I play the freak. So when a hoe wanna fuck to the flow of a teenage pimp, I wanna see bitch, that grip, so
bitch better have my money. 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 Bitch better have my money.
Motherfuckers out there can't fade me. And bitches out there don't faze me. I take it blow for blow. A hoe is a hoe. A bitch is a bitch is a
bitch.
So fuck all the rigmarole. I clap the dough while I slang the blow. G's gonna do it to you slow while you sing along, ho.
Bitch better have my money.
Yeah, bitch.
Bitch better have my money. Bitch, bitch better have my money. Bitch, bitch better have my money. Bitch better have my money. Bitch better have my money.